Global trade deal on track after U.S. and Europe table film dispute. Vice President Gore tests Russia's new political climate. Houston Oilers player dead of apparent suicide after fatal auto accident. Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. A day before the deadline, the way has been cleared in Geneva for the largest trade deal in history, in which 116 countries agree to lower their barriers on a wide range of new products and accept the risks of a rough-and-tumble world marketplace. A final GATT treaty was made possible when the U.S. and Europe agreed to defer a dispute over movies. U.S. negotiator Mickey Cantor could not do a deal for his Hollywood friends.
We were unable to overcome our differences on issues relating to this entertainment issue. To advance the round, we agreed to disagree.
Europe's top trade negotiator, Sir Leon Britton, while happy to put the audiovisual issues aside for now, made clear he'll fight for French, Italian, and German movie makers.
Europe does have a culture, or rather a group of cultures, and it is entitled to support those cultures, and it has done so.
What it means is that French moviegoers will continue to flock to American blockbusters, and that Hollywood, through a slight loss of revenue, will help France subsidize its own movies, which 2 in 100 Americans will ever see. As Sean McCorrig reports, Paris is happy with the lack of a deal.
French Culture Minister Jacques Toubon said he is delighted that the audiovisual industry is to be left out of the deal. He said France had won a battle to preserve its identity and culture. It means that government subsidies to European filmmakers worth hundreds of millions of dollars a year will go ahead as usual, and that maximum quotas of non-European programs on television here will stay in place.
On the broader trade front, U.S. negotiator Cantor was more pleased.
We will open large new markets in the service industry, which employ over half the U.S. workforce. We will put a stop to the spiraling and self-defeating agricultural subsidies, which bankrupt the federal budget and distort world markets for our farmers.
Freer trade is not without political pain, as Bruce Dunning reports from Tokyo.
Farmers shouted themselves hoarse, but with no result. Early this morning, all the parties in the ruling coalition reluctantly agreed to end Japan's total ban on imported rice. Just before dawn, Prime Minister Hosokawa announced he had reached what he called a heart-wrenching decision to allow a minimum amount of foreign rice under the new rules for global trade. Japan, he said, must not be blamed for threatening the success of the GATT negotiations. It was a severe test of Hosokawa's political coalition, but he apparently listened to the Japanese consumer, not the rice industry. Surveys show that Japanese consumers are willing to give foreign rice a try, especially if it costs less. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
The Clinton administration was clearly caught off guard by ultra-nationalist gains in Russia's election. Vice President Gore, now in Moscow, refuses to talk about the results.
Since all of the results there appear to be still preliminary, I will withhold expressing any reaction.
But the latest tally of Sunday's vote shows the ultra-nationalist and misnamed Liberal Democrats under Vladimir Zhirinovsky piling up an unbeatable 25% margin. More from Bill Gasparini.
Vladimir Zhirinovsky's toned down his rhetoric somewhat, but he made it very clear he'll be taken seriously by the political establishment from now on. Speaking forcefully during a packed news conference, he said he wants good relations with all countries, including the U.S., and that Russia has no territorial ambitions on any other state. He blamed the media for reports that he's anti-Semitic. He also wants to change economic policy, accusing the current government of ruining Russia. But he did hold out an olive branch to Boris Yeltsin, saying his party wants to play a constructive role in the future government. Bill Gasparini for CBS News, Moscow.
Less cautiously, Zhirinovsky, in a Hamburg radio interview, threatened both Germany and Japan with nuclear disaster if they interfere in Russia's internal affairs. In Sarajevo today, 8 people reported killed, 10 wounded in a heavy mortar and artillery barrage. Former First Lady Barbara Bush is visiting Bosnian refugees in Croatia. The Irish government today invited both Israel and the PLO to set up embassies in Dublin, the last European capital to recognize Israel. Retail sales were up a moderate 0.4% in November, the 8th consecutive increase. Economist Pat Bradley of Philadelphia's PNC Bank.
It looks like the consumers coming out of hibernation. Looks like it's going to be a pretty merry Christmas season after all, if there were any doubts before.
While sales at furniture stores soared 3.7% last month, department store business was down 1%. The nation's current account trade deficit widened by 3% in the July-September quarter. Defense Secretary Aspin is fighting inside the administration for up to $50 billion more in Pentagon spending over the next 5 years. As Rob Armstrong reports, he's getting some help from across the political aisle.
Senate Republicans think they may have found an issue on which they can increase the level of political discomfort for Democrats in general and the president in particular. Senate GOP leader Bob Dole, along with Strom Thurmond, the ranking Republican on Armed Services, and Pete Domenici, the top Republican on the Senate Budget Committee, have sent Mr. Clinton a letter saying his Pentagon spending cuts are too much, too fast, and threaten the nation's security. They urge the president to take a personal look at the depth and dimension of his budget cuts and reconsider them. They obliquely suggest Mr. Clinton has ignored warnings from his military advisors about the dangers of his military spending cuts. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Houston Oiler lineman Jeff Alm is dead, an apparent suicide, after a friend was thrown out of Alm's out-of-control car and fatally injured. Police say Alm, apparently distraught at what happened, killed himself with a shotgun. The lawyer for suicide doctor Jack Kevorkian wants him freed from jail now that a Wayne County, Michigan judge has found constitutional fault with a state ban on assisted suicide. More from WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
In his ruling, Judge Richard Kaufman set down certain criteria under which suicide is constitutionally protected. People whose quality of life is significantly impaired and those who have freely made their decision to die. In a hearing scheduled for today, the judge will decide if those criteria apply to Kevorkian patient Donald O'Keefe. O'Keefe's son, Al, thinks so.
My dad fit every one of the criteria. He deemed it to be unconstitutional, by so I'm very happy.
Did he receive any pressure? That was one of the issues that we have.
No, my dad made that decision all by himself. It's something he wanted more than anything else.
Prosecutors feel even if charges are dismissed against Kevorkian in this one case, they feel they can proceed against him in two other assisted suicides. Jeff Gilbert for CBS News, Detroit.
A woman who worked as a maid for Michael Jackson said she quit in anger after seeing him naked with young boys in the shower and a jacuzzi. Blanca Francia also told the L.A. Times she saw Jackson with the boy in a sleeping bag. Sandra Hughes has more.
Jackson's attorneys asked the court for a gag order to quiet the stories being leaked to the media surrounding the sexual abuse allegations by the 13-year-old boy. The pop star's return to the U.S. is fueling speculation that a deal was struck between Jackson and the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office over a strip search warrant. That search would look for body marks, which the boy reportedly says he can identify. Larry Feldman is the child's attorney.
They've made some deal, I presume, over the how this body search is going to be done.
Attorneys for the elusive superstar say sometime after a court decision Friday on the gag order, Jackson will finally speak out about the allegations against him. Sandra Hughes, CBS News, Los Angeles.
On Wall Street, the Dow is down a fraction. It's 10 past.